Hello, how you doing today? It's Friday. Hope you got a good weekend planned. And good to be with you again on the Bernie Miklas channel here on YouTube. And I enjoy doing these for you. And thank you for all your comments. I've been trying really hard to respond to more of them. And thank you for your patience on that. Please subscribe if you haven't and hit that like button because it helps. All right. I want to talk about something that's been one of the worst parts about the downturn of Cardinals baseball and why it's so important that they fix the problem. Because I could be wrong about this, but I just get a feeling that there isn't enough people who understand why it was so crucial to bring in Chaim Bloom, who then brought in Rob Serfolio, and to put them in charge of this massive project to modernize the Cardinals' antiquated minor league system and player development operation is long overdue, and it's vital. And these guys know what they're doing, and in time, this long overdue rebuilding will pay off for the big league team in a major way. It's not going to happen for one off season. I mean, it's not going to happen right away. I think everyone understands that. But I also hope that the Cardinals will use the upgrades like better facilities, advanced technology, and more coaches and instructors to do a better job of developing prospects. And let me be more specific. My number one wish is that the Cardinals can recover from a long stretch of futility. And the biggest step they can take is to thrive again in the really, really important area of drafting and developing starting pitchers. I have a lot of good stuff to present to you, and there's a lot of ground to cover, so hang in there with me. I'll try to get this get through this as quickly as I can, and I am organized. I'll try to be. All right, let's start with this. Once upon a time, the Cardinals were very strong at drafting and developing starting pitchers. I don't want to go back too far in time. I kind of want to cover that area where they were still benefiting from Jeff Luhnow putting in a new scouting system and making sure the player development was on point. And they benefited from that, you know, several years after he left in 2011 to become the Astros general manager. So I just want to say that because Luhnow might have been gone from the building and gone from the operation, but the stuff he put in was working well for them, except they kind of let it slide, and they didn't keep up with the rest of the major league teams, or most of them anyway. So once upon a time, they were really, really good at drafting, developing starting pitchers. And again, this pretty much covers the post-Jeff Luhnow period where the stuff he had put in was still effective. All right. They drafted Jack Flaherty, Michael Wacha, Marco Gonzalez, Shelby Miller, Joe Kelly, Luke Weaver, and Austin Gomber, and some others. They were drafted in the years leading up to 2015. In 2009, Luhnow also, his operation also drafted Shelby Miller. And yeah, I mentioned Joe Kelly already. So these were just partial listing. There were a lot of good pitchers that came aboard, including relievers. All right, Flaherty had one outstanding season for the Cardinals, as you know. He finished fourth in the 2019 National League Cy Young vote. Wacha, of course, pitched the Cardinals into the World Series in 2013. Before he got sidetracked by a series of shoulder blade injuries. And I was really glad to see him rebound from that and have a good big league career. Class guy. The Cardinals traded Gonzalez for Tyler O'Neill. They traded Shelby Miller for Jason Hayward. They traded Luke Weaver in the deal for Paul Goldschmidt. They traded Joe Kelly in the deal for John Lackey. And they traded Austin Gomber in the deal for Nolan Arenado. I don't have any problems with those trades. Do you? I really don't recall any fans groaning when Gonzalez was sent to Seattle for O'Neill because the Cardinals were looking for a young power hitter, and Gonzalez wasn't progressing for whatever reason. Well, maybe because the Cardinals don't know what they're doing with pitching, young pitching. Anyway, he wasn't progressing in the St. Louis system or even at the major league levels, and even though he did pitch in the majors for them, the Cardinals didn't seem to know how to get the best out of him. Which might have been a tip-off, right? Because he went to Seattle and did really, really well, Marco Gonzalez. So that might have been like an early example of what was yet to come, right? Before 2015, and again, it's not just starting pitching. I mean, I am talking about relievers. So let me point this out. They drafted some relievers who helped them win a lot of important games, postseason, late season, whatever. That roll call of really, really good relievers at a really good time for Cardinals baseball, that list would include Trevor Rosenthal, Kevin Zegrist, and Seth Maness. Another St. Louis draft pick, ironically, Trevor McGill, is now Milwaukee's closer. Now, please keep in mind when I'm going through this that I'm only discussing the organization's draft pick because this is about draft and development. Besides, it's not like the Cardinals hit the jackpot with their international signings. Carlos Martinez and Sandy Alcantara were signed in 2013. And that was back when they were still benefiting from what Luhnow put in place. Beginning with the 2015 draft, all right, here we're going to get to the tough part. Beginning with the 2015 draft, the Cardinals have pretty much been a disaster at drafting starting pitchers. The results will look, there's a condition here, the results will look better if Michael McGreevy, Quinn Matthews, or Tink Hentz, or a combination of those three become good big league starters. I'd also probably put Cooper Jerpy on that list. So we'll see. But for now, we have to categorize them as legit prospects, but they're still developing, and let's see how that comes along. I do think most of us, if not all of us, agree that Matthews has a chance to be really good and that McGreevy can be in the rotation, you know, for quite a while. We'll see. Again, we're still in the learning process about these guys. All right, here we go. Here's the list of the other starting pitchers drafted, or the starting pitchers drafted by the Cardinals from 2015 through 2021. Jake Woodford, Dakota Hudson, Zach Thompson, Andre Pallante, Michael McGreevy, and Gordon Graceffo. 2015 through 2021. In other words, it doesn't count Quinn Matthews and a couple of those other guys I mentioned. They came after that. And I think maybe Randy Flores deserves some credit for that, right? Once again, only starting pitchers 15 through 21, Woodford, Hudson, Thompson, Pallante, McGreevy, Graceffo. And Graceffo really does project as a reliever, so that's probably where he's going to end up, and that's all right if he helps the team. The Redbirds have enjoyed more success over this time at drafting relievers, but even then, let's not get carried away. There were like two primary guys who did really well. One of them has done great. That's Ryan Helsley, and the other is Jordan Hicks. And, you know, both have dealt with injuries, but that's typical of relief pitchers who throw hard, right? And I know Hicks started 12 games for the Cardinals, but he wasn't very good at it. His primary role was relief, and the Giants made him a starter when he signed there, and then they pulled the plug on that, and he went back to the bullpen. Now, the Cardinals also drafted another starter, Zach Gallen, who was later traded to Miami along with Sandy Alcantara in the deal for Marcell Ozuna. The Cardinals needed a power bat, and they gave up two young prospects. I don't think they knew how good Gallen was. I think they absolutely knew how good Alcantara was. Alcantara went on to win the National League Cy Young Award in 2022. Gallen, selected by the Cardinals in 2016, was a fast mover. He'd reached the AAA level by the time the Cardinals put him in that Ozuna deal. And at the time, the trade seemed like a reasonable thing to do. And I always like people claiming, oh, I hated that trade when they made. Yeah, okay, sure, pal, gotcha. It seemed like a reasonable thing to do at that time, but it absolutely blew up on the Cardinals. There's no doubt about that. And you judge trades based on, not if they made sense, you judge them ultimately whether they work for you or not. And so this one didn't. Miami later traded Gallen to Arizona for Jazz Chisholm. Gallen has flourished with the Diamondbacks, earning Cy Young votes, getting chosen for one all-star team, ranking 11th among all starting pitchers and wins above replacement since 2021. Now, let's think about this for a moment, because this is why I brought Zach Gallen into this conversation in a more prominent way. Let's think about this for a moment. Those six starters I mentioned that have been drafted by the Cardinals since 2015 through 2021, they've combined, all of them together, have combined for 7.3 wins above replacement. That's six pitchers, okay? Now, I know that a couple of them have just, you know, recently gotten to the major leagues, duly noted, talking about McGreevy, talking about Graceffo, who may not be a starter anyway. But to this point, the six starters drafted between 2015 and 2021 have combined for 7.3 wins above replacement. You know what Zach Gallen has done in four seasons with Arizona? He's got 13.5 wins above replacement. That's more than double than what the six starters that drafted by the Cardinals during this time frame, more than double what they have done. 17, Gallen, 13.5 wins above replacement. Those guys are drafted by the Cardinals, 7.3. Sheesh. I think it gets worse here. And again, I'm just going to keep saying this because I know how it works sometimes where I do a video and it's got a lot of stuff in it. If I don't mention this like two or three times that, hey, I'm excited about Matthews, pretty excited about Hentz, not sure whether he'll ever be able to have the durability to last. Pretty excited about McGreevy, although, you know, what will he project to like as he goes along in the majors? Can he be a rotation fixture? I don't know. I do know that I'm pulling for those guys, but I wanted to mention that for the third time, because if I don't, someone will type, well, Bernie, I'm just surprised you didn't mention, Quinn Matthews. Fourth time. Yeah, Quinn Matthews, Hentz, and McGreevy. I like them. Anyway, although I'm only having fun. You see my smile, right? And though the Ozuna deal went wrong at the time, it went wrong over time, which it did, sorry. I can't fault the Cardinals for trading Weaver, Gomber, Kelly, and Gonzalez to get Arenado, Goldschmidt, John Lackey, and Tyler O'Neill in return. I can't blame them for giving up Shelby Miller, who was drafted way back in 2009. They traded him for Jason Hayward in the spring or the offseason leading into the 2015 season. The Cardinals were reeling after the tragic death of Oscar Tavares, who they hoped would be their right fielder for a very long time. But he died in the car crash in 2014, right after the World. It actually was during the World Series. And the Cardinals said, man, we have to do something. And they gave up Shelby Miller for Jason Hayward to fill that void in right field. And really, that trade turned out to be a wash. Now, you know, Hayward was really good for the Cardinals in 2015. I ain't gonna sit here and give you stats. He was really, really good, valuable player defensively, did a lot of things, a really good all-around player that year. And Miller was really good for Atlanta in 2015. But the reason I say the deal became a wash is that Hayward left as a free agent after one season with the Cardinals, signed with the Cubs. And Miller, after that 2015 All-Star season that he had for the Braves, he was derailed by injuries. In fact, since going from Atlanta or leaving Atlanta in a trade, Shelby Miller has pitched for seven different teams. So there's just no reason whatsoever by any sane person to criticize the Miller for Hayward trade in retrospect. It was kind of a wash. All right, now let me expand on this point really quick, because I'm going to put a number to how many pitchers they drafted. All right, from 2015 through 2021, the Cardinals drafted 136 pitchers over the 7 years, 136 pitchers drafted in 7 years. You know how many of those 136 pitchers actually threw a pitch in a regular season game for the Cardinals? 11. From that group of 136 pitchers drafted by the Cardinals over seven seasons, only 11 have actually pitched for the Cardinals in a game that counted. And of that group of 136 drafted pitchers, the Cardinals have gotten 150 starts, 112 saves, 15 wins above replacement. Listen, you know, the saves basically are because of Helsley and Hicks. I don't know. You tell me who the best starter has been from that group. What was it, Dakota Hudson? Well, that was for a little while, right? Jake Woodford, not really. Maybe it'll turn out to be Pallante. The point is, these, you know, you can see where there were a lot of starts made by these guys. Not a lot, but there was a decent amount of starts made by these guys, but they just didn't last and they didn't get established in a way where they became a really important part of your core nucleus, right? And I mentioned the relievers, Helsley and Hicks, have accounted for 8 of the 15 wins above replacement from that group of drafted pitchers. And two starters, Hudson and Pallante, have combined for 5.4 WAR among that group of 136 drafted pitchers. So that overall total of 15 wins above replacement was basically produced by five pitchers. And, you know, so five pitchers, if you look at it this way, five pitchers, 15 divided by five pitchers, that means those guys averaged about 3.0 wins above replacement as Cardinals. I don't know. That's not exactly an overwhelming return, although Helsley was really good and Hicks was pretty good. So even with that, and a lot of us raised Kane about the fact that they decided that Pallante was a reliever when obviously he was more suited to be a starter. The Cardinals couldn't decide what to do with him. He only became a starter, and I told this story of, you know, a few weeks ago in a video, because he took the initiative. It was up to him. He marched into Ollie Marmol's office, had a meeting with him and Dusty Blake, and he, the pitching coach, and he pleaded with him, oh, let me go down to Memphis, because he was going down to Memphis. Let me work on starting. I really will be a better starter than reliever. And they were like, oh, well, okay, sure. So it took the pitcher to know how to develop himself. The people in charge had no clue. The Cardinals should have gotten more out of first-round pick Zach Thompson, but they didn't know what to do with him. Starter, reliever, Memphis, St. Louis, Memphis, starter, reliever, Memphis, St. Louis. You know, they yo-yoed this dude all over the place. And this has turned into an unfortunate theme. Do the Cardinals have any real idea of what they're doing with young pitchers to get them ready for the majors, but also even once they get to the majors? They don't know what to do with these guys. They keep messing stuff up. And that's why you should be really happy that Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio are coming to the rescue. And if you're not thrilled by that, then I got to question whether you really like the Cardinals. Because this is really important to try to revitalize the Cardinals' ability to develop starting pitchers. You can always find relievers, man. But starting pitching is at a premium. There's a shortage of really good starting pitchers. And if you don't have enough of it, you're going to have to rush out like Mozeliak did before last season and buy three free agents, starting pitchers, in one season. That's no way to operate. One off season, I should say. You know what I meant. Now, let's get to the other part. We have some testimony. I was doing my reading Thursday night and came across a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Beat writer Todd Rosiak, who covers the Brewers, he did a profile of reliever Connor Thomas. He was a lefty. You probably heard of his name. He was selected by the Cardinals in the fifth round of the 2019 draft. Now, I thought Thomas was making pretty good progress. I think the Cardinals decided otherwise. Obviously, they left him exposed. They didn't put him on the 40-man roster, and he was exposed in the Rule 5 draft. And the Brewers, who have an incredibly smart front office, they jumped on it. They drafted Connor Thomas. So now he's in camp with the Brewers trying to make the team. Thomas began the interview very graciously by thanking the Cardinals for drafting him and giving him the opportunity. He said that just the fact they drafted him and gave him an opportunity, it was, quote, a development piece in that, because he got experience at every level on the minors. And he added, so they developed me in that regard, meaning, yeah, they drafted me and I pitched in the minor league season. So I guess you could say they developed me in that regard. In other words, that ain't much of a compliment, because as I'm going to share with you, that was no compliment at all. Here's what Connor Thomas said and the rest of his quotes about this. Quote, but as far as on the coaching side of it, there really wasn't a whole lot, you know. It was a bunch of, hey, this is what you do. Just try to figure it out. Figure out how to get hitters out. There were no tweaks, nothing like that, nothing of this. I'm really happy to be with a team, Thomas said, that's on the coaching side of it, doing a little more for me. I mean, seriously, you know, Connor, this is not the first time we heard it. I'm going to repeat that. As far as the coaching side, he said there really wasn't a whole lot, you know. It was a bunch of, hey, this is what you do. Just try to go figure it out. Figure out how to get hitters out. There were no tweaks, nothing like that, nothing like this. I'm happy to be with a team that's on the coaching side of it, that's doing a little more for me, talking about the Brewers. I had to repeat that twice, or once. I had to tell it to you twice, because I went like, wow, here we go again. And this wasn't the first time we heard something like this. Zach Gallen has never had anything positive to say about his time in the Cardinal system, other than the fact to acknowledge, yeah, they drafted me, and I appreciate that, blah, blah, blah. He was in an interview a while back. He said there was, quote, a weird vibe in the minor league system. And he also noted, and he clearly still resents this, that the Cardinals traded him after he missed a couple of off-season pitching camps, and he had personal reasons for doing it, which he explained to the team, but apparently missing those camps got Galen on the wrong side. And, you know, given how inept they are at developing pitching in the minors back then, what the heck were they doing in those camps anyway? What was it, more of like, try to get the hitters out. Okay, son, here, you know, there you go. I believe in you. Trust your stuff. You go out there and try to get them out. Is that what those camps were for? Like, what the hell wisdom did they have to impart? They don't know how to develop pitching, all right? Not starting pitching anyway. I get worked up about this stuff, man. So, and then I want to bring you, I think, a more well-known example, because it's got some play. The Cardinals had a minor league pitcher named Paul Schwindel. He wasn't very good. And you know what? You know who tells us that? Schwindel told us that. He said, no, I wasn't any good, but I had a chance to be in a minor league system and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, like I said, he didn't have much talent, and he's the first to acknowledge that. But he obviously is an observant guy. And in 2023, Schwindel spoke out about the Cardinals' poor job of developing pitchers, young pitchers. And this was prompted by something baseball analyst Eno Saris said. He's a writer analyst for The Athletic, and he's really respected in the industry for his expertise on pitching metrics. He's way ahead of anything you're going to read from any other analyst, right? He even invented a pitching metric that I look at. It's called Stuff Plus, and big league teams all use that as a reference point. So Saris, in this tweet back in 2023, said the Cardinals ranked near the bottom of the majors in terms of advanced pitching metrics and talked about some of the problems they had. And that's when Schwindel jumped in. He responded to Eno's tweet. Let me read you the comments. This was from a Cardinals minor leaguer, Schwindel. Quote, our director of player development for the Cardinals came to town when I was playing in their system in Peoria 2 years ago, and he told us to stop trying to strike people out. They said, throw fastballs down the middle and have the hitters on base or out in three pitches. A coach pulled us aside afterwards and said, no, the analysts don't see it that way, so we should be trying to punch people out. Incoherent strategy in that organization on the pitching front. They had pitching coaches down there with no idea how to use TrackMan. All right, timeout. So you got these young pitching prospects, and the director of player development's telling them, don't try to strike people out. You just get them out as quickly as you can. Throw fastballs down the middle, and that way, you know, they'll hit a ground ball. Maybe they get a pop-up, and then you can get these guys out in three pitches. So quit trying to strike people out. And then a coach immediately after that said, our analysts don't think that's the way it should be done. We should be trying to punch people out. So once again, my dear friends, do you understand, like, why I've been screaming basically for more than a year about how the Cardinals have to fix this mess down there? And I know what they're doing doesn't get some people, like, you know, as excited as when the Cardinals waste money on a mediocre free agent pitcher, but this is like the most important thing they should be doing right now. And by the way, go back to that story real quick. When he said incoherent strategy, Schwindel said they had pitching coaches with no idea how to use a TrackMan. I was like, you got to be kidding me. TrackMan's been around for a while now. And in case you don't know, it's an advanced tracking device used by every professional team in the United States and also in other countries. The technology is really valuable in developing pitchers. The data is used to help pitchers understand how their pitches look to batters, can help pitchers adjust their throwing motions to improve their stuff, and helps pitchers enhance their pitch selection and how they execute those pitchers. And the Cardinals don't have coaches, or they didn't have coaches in the minors who knew how to use that. Something that I'm sure there are high school teams have in place, right? It's an embarrassment. It's a disgrace. And this explains a lot about how the Cardinals went from one of the best organizations in the majors at developing starting pitching to becoming the worst, not the worst, close to it, in developing starting pitching. That is a big, big deal. That is a big, big flaw. And that's why Bloom and Cerfolio are here. And if you don't think the project they're working on is crucial to the team's future success, with all due respect to you out there, and there's probably only a few of you, I got to say that. I'm not saying all Cardinals fans are like this. But for those that don't think what they're doing in the minors and the player development is long overdue and very essential to the success of the Cardinals in the future, the near future, the distant future, if you don't think that this is something they have to attack, which they are, then I'm sorry, you just haven't been paying much attention, because this is a vital area that must be corrected, and the Cardinals can then begin to develop starting pitching again. I'll leave you with something I said earlier in the video. 136 pitchers drafted over 7 years, only 3% actually threw a pitch for the Cardinals in the majors. Thank you. Have a good weekend. I appreciate your patience here. Hey, I got this thing done in 26 minutes. I thought I'd be going over 30. Victory. Have a great weekend. I appreciate every one of you. Take care.